Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. Soldier Field be rocking tonight. Bears welcome the Seahawks to town to wrap up week two in the National Football League. So, can Matt Nagy's club avoid blowing a 20-point lead for the second straight game? Meanwhile, the Cubbies headed out to Arizona, where hopefully they will find their offense. So how worried should Northside fans be about the team's struggles at the dish? We'll discuss that and a whole lot more. Sports Talk Live rolls right now. And good evening. Welcome to the Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a great start to your week. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. He's a veteran, been on this show many times. He is the great Phil Rogers, and he is the host over at The Score, but he's also the host of our football after show. He is a Bears expert. He is Lawrence Holmes. All right, glad you guys are here. Okay, big game tonight. Football night in Chicago, the Monday night stage, the Bears and the banged-up Seattle Seahawks. And, Lawrence, this is not the Seahawks that we've had this window of opportunity to win Super Bowls watching. They're banged up, but they're still talented.
They are, but some of their talent is not going to be on the field. They've got a lot of injuries in the linebacking core, which has kind of become their strength, their defense, after they've let all
Bobby
of
Wagner,
their,
KJ Wright.
Yeah, after they let all of their great defensive linemen go or have gone on because of contract situations. Earl Thomas is still out there. He's still there to make plays. But it's not the same. It's not the Legion of Boom. You're not terrified of Seattle's defense. I think the only thing, there are two things that are terrifying about them. One is their quarterback, Russell Wilson.
Stud.
The way that he's able to run to open up windows to throw. He's so dangerous on the run. And it's funny because the Bears this week were talking about how dangerous he is in the pocket. And that this is a guy that I think Vic Fangio said, if he had 5.240 speed, he would still be great because he understands how the game is going and where to go with the football. The other thing to keep in mind, they got this punter, and Alex was making fun of me because I was talking about it earlier. They got a Australian, like, rugby-style punter who was getting 70 yards in the air. Watch this. That's going to be a fun thing to watch with the Bears special teams tonight.
Well, it won't
be. You heard
it
from me first.
It won't be the only fun thing to watch because who knows what the Bears are going to do. I mean, you got the two halves against the Packers. Last I looked at Mitch Trubisky, he looked like the deer in the headlights. You know, I don't know how you can feel good as a Bears fan when you got Russell Wilson quarterback in the other team and your guy is still an unknown, unproven guy. A lot of Patrick Mahomes talk around Chicago. And, you know, I think it's the way the Bears have been for the last, I don't know how many years, 5 years, 10 years. Of, you know, the onus is on the Bears, you know, to step up and show that they can be the team they were in the first half against the Packers. If they are, it's going to be a really fun season. But, you know, I think tonight will tell us a lot.
That's the scary thing. We saw the Bears on the script look great. But what scares me is that they have 4 months to game plan the Packers. Four. And now you got a week to turn it around and game plan Seattle. Will the script look as crisp this week as it looked last week? And when they adjust, because good coaches do and Pete Carroll's a good coach, how will the Bears adjust back? That's the thing that kind of frustrated me watching the game last week, is that they got punched in the mouth by Aaron Rodgers saying, okay, I can't move, my guys can't protect, Khalil Mack is a monster, I'm going to get the ball out fast. And whether it was covering crossing routes with the linebacking core or guys not being able to tackle, Rodgers was great. He was epic.
He's a Hall of Famer.
But the run after the catch was what killed the Bears. This play right here sums it all up. And what's really scary is, look who's hustling back. It's Amos, it's Leonard Floyd, and it's Khalil Mack. No one else is in that picture as Randall Cobb just slices his way through the defense.
Yep, 75 yards. Wait, here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. It's a simple question. Who wins tonight, Seahawks or Bears? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Phil.
I think Lawrence hit a really good point. Adjustments, coaching staff. I don't think it was just on the defensive side to adjust to what Russell Wilson changed. You know, the Packers made adjustments with their defense and completely shut the Bears down. And, you know, Trubisky looked great in the first half throwing passes. And I think Lawrence is right that, you know, they're executing things they've put in practice and gone over and over and over. But once they got off of that, you know, he was those overthrows, 15-yard overthrows downfield and, you know, and not looking to any of the underneath guys, always just kind of sticking and looking down the field at throws you couldn't successfully make in that game for whatever reason. And the Bears coaching staff never seemed to really find a way to adjust to the adjustments that were made against them.
Well, for me, first of all, you got to put somebody with it. I would think it's Roquan Smith will be spying on Russell Wilson. I would bet that he starts tonight.
I hope so, because I like Kwiatkowski as a rotational linebacker. Like, he's a guy that can fill a couple spots for you. But as far as him in coverage, you saw what a lack of speed was going to do. And that's where I think that there was a little bit of a failure. Maybe you'll see Roquan Smith, who was injured. I mean, that's part of the reason that he only played, what, 8 snaps last week, that he still wasn't quite right with the hamstring. So maybe we'll see him a little bit more. To speak to Phil's point, when I went back and looked at the game, the thing that seemed to give Mitchell problems was zone looks. That the disguises that they were able to use, Mike Pettine and the Packers used, that scares me a little bit. That becomes a blueprint on confusing Mitchell Trubisky. Well, we'll just throw a couple zone looks out there and see if he can find the open guy in time. And what happened is when he got frustrated, he didn't keep his eyes down the field. He tucked. And that's something that even Matt Nagy said he's got to, you know, do a better job of keeping his eyes down. Absolutely, 100%.
All right, the other thing they have to be able to do is run the football.
They were.
Jordan Howard, tonight I'm talking.
But
stay
last
committed
week,
to it.
I agree with that. You had a guy that was averaging 5.5 yards a carry, and in third and short situations, you didn't give him the rock. Those are the types of things that are really frustrating because they seem to make all the sense in the world. And Jordan Howard in particular, in late game situations, that's when that guy makes his money. They feel like they pound defenses all the time. And then when you get to the third and fourth quarter, that's when he feels like he has an advantage because the defense is worn out.
Well, I thought it was on second and 16, and he ran for 14 yards. And they're sitting there. The screen said third and one. It was really a third and two. And this is the play right here. And I'm thinking, okay, they're going to spot that back at the 14-yard line. It's going to be a third down and two is what it was. And you don't run two. I would have said, okay, we're running guys twice. And if we don't get it and they go down the field and they beat us, shame on us that we couldn't get 2 yards. But when you take the field goal after a pass play that was run to a receiver, Anthony Miller, who ran a route behind the line by 2 yards and wasn't going to get to the line to gain, you're basically saying, yeah, we were afraid. We took the 6-point lead and you let Aaron Rodgers do exactly what he did and beat you.
Well, there was some talk at Halas Hall this week of guys saying that once Rodgers went out, that there was kind of a letting go of the rope. And Nagy said that can't happen, that we have to make sure the guys are playing 100%, 100% of the time. So we'll see if they do that, if they learn. Like, that's kind of the fun part of tonight. How much did the Bears learn from what happened to them last week? And can they apply what they learned to a team that is going to come after their quarterback? And what will he have learned? Will he take the risk? Because that seems to be his issue. It's risk calculus, and I get it. I joked with our friend Adam Hoge about this, that Nagy and the Bears have to beat the fox out of him. You know, that there's still some of that left, some residual John Fox stuff.
Check down. Don't take any chances.
Don't turn it over. Don't take a risk. And Nagy's saying, take some more risk.
If you get picked, you get picked. Like, they ran a wheel route with Tariq Cohen late in the game.
Wide open.
And you got a defensive lineman.
That's
an end.
Every time.
Every time. Tariq Cohen turns up the right sideline. He is open, and he doesn't even take the shot.
If anybody thought Aaron Rodgers was out of that game to stay when he got hurt, I don't know what they would base that on. He did not look hurt that badly to me. He rode off on the cart, but he walked to the tent. He was in the tent. I mean, were you surprised he came back? I wasn't the least bit surprised.
He's a horror movie villain.
And that's
can't
what
kill him.
That's what Joe Madden was talking about the other day with their travel schedule, that, you know, you never flip the switch off and then you have to turn it back on. I mean, if they did that, shame on them.
Yeah, once you flip the switch, oh God, here we go. Got to try and crank it back up again.
Yep, it's hard to do. It's hard to replicate.
Okay,
that.
The other person who did not get much blame, and I thought he and his troops should have gotten more blame, was Vic Fangio. What happened to that defense in the second half? Were they just out of gas? And if they were, 7 weeks of training camp, I get Khalil Mack being tired, but how is everybody tired?
Well, there are some questions there, Cap, because remember, this coaching staff values the health of the team. They wanted a healthy roster before they came into the season. And if that means that you didn't play in preseason games and you haven't really played in a couple of weeks, and even when you played, you didn't play deep into the preseason game, it opens up a lot of questions about how they were prepared to come into the season. Khalil Mack, I got no beef with a guy who, you know, wasn't in training camp at all, comes out there and gives that type of
performance. And you see who was running down after Randall Cobb? That was Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack. I got no problem with a guy playing like Lawrence Taylor for a half and then, you know, maybe not playing like it because he's gassed, even though he played with 75% of the snaps overall. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, that was the other adjustment that they made. They got the ball out quick, so it mitigated some of the pass rush that Mack and Leonard Floyd and Roy Robertson Harris were getting, and Akeem Hicks, who I thought played a great game last Sunday night. Those are the types of things that you can't have. And what I was talking about a few minutes ago, the run after the catch, whether it was Adams making the nice move on the sideline where you forget where your leverage is and you allow him to get into the end zone, or Randall Cobb just slicing and dicing his way through. The numbers look great for Rodgers. They look incredible. But look at the plays that his receivers made after they got the ball in their hands. And
although
that's
I
where
will tell you, the throw to Geronimo Allison.
There's no one else who can do that.
There's no other. Maybe no Tom Brady. But that toss to Geronimo Allison, he literally like put it on a platter and went, here you go, kid.
The only place the ball could be.
It was incredible because Fuller's coverage was excellent.
Yeah, it was. And that's another thing. Fuller, you know, the reason that he didn't get top dollar as a cornerback is because of his hands. He tackles hard. He plays hard. But when you have the game's right here, it's right there.
That's the game.
But even if you don't take it to the house, the game's over.
Between,
right there.
Between that and the drive that they get the field goal in at the end of the game, I mean, there are two great chances to finish off the Packers no matter what happened up to then. That was unbelievably bad to watch him drop that ball.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. All right, we'll get back to the Bears later when AB, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, number 55, stop by the show. We're going to take our first time out on Sports Talk Live after the break. Turn our attention to the diamond. Joe Madden not happy with Wilson Contreras pimping a fly ball, while Cubs fans everywhere aren't happy with the offense as of late.
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you. Every authentic fan night, we designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Contreras in the air, deep center. Hamilton back on the track. It's off the wall. Russell toward third. Contreras on his way to second, and he's going to have to dive in for a double.
Well, he thought he got it because he admired it for a long time. He's lucky they didn't throw him out at second base.
Horrible. I didn't like that at all. Not at all. And that will be addressed. The whole team didn't like that.
What I did was not good for baseball, and a lot of people that's watching, and I know they're being really hard on me because at first I thought it was gone. I kind of walk and then I start running hard. So I was bad on my side.
All right, Wilson Contreras after yesterday's game as he disrespected 90. Do we cut the guy some slack? Do we not? Do we come down on him? Joe Maddon was none too pleased.
Well, I don't know if you – no, you don't cut him any slack. I mean, I don't think it cost him the game as if you unpack that inning. I don't think they're going to score two runs anyway. But
Addison – Russell ended up scoring.
Addison Russell did the opposite. He played it too conservatively, which meant he only got the third. When Billy Hamilton turns his – back to the ball like he does here and looks at the wall, then Russell's got a break quicker, but he paused at second base far too long. And then, so Contreras ultimately could have only gone to second. But as long as that ball was in the air, going off the wall, you don't know if it's going to be played clean off the wall. Contreras should have been halfway to second when the ball hit the wall, and then he's got a chance to maybe get a triple. I don't think those things would have happened the way the sequence played out and Hamilton got it back in. But, yeah, I mean, you don't cut him any slack. To me, it's a symptom of what's wrong with Contreras that he has two homers since the All-Star break when he was an All-Star. He's very frustrated. Caratini's been getting more playing time, and I think he just thought that was the big moment. I finally got the big hit, and he kind of lost his focus.
When you haven't hit a home run since August 1st, I am all for pimping home runs. I think it's great, but when you haven't hit one since August 1st and you've been platooned out with Caratini in there, it behooves you to try and work as hard as you can.
If you're going to pimp and bat flip and the whole deal, I think it's great because I think it's entertainment and we lose sight of that at times. That ball better be way out.
Yeah, and I mean, he hit it a long way. I mean, he hit it to like the deepest part of the park, but it's that type of thing where you go, come on, man. Because we know how hard that guy plays. He plays hard all the time. He is a fun player to watch. I think he and Javier Baez are very exciting players, and they've gotten grief from other managers throughout the season. But that's now that it's a tight division and you're in this race, you got to be doing everything you can to try to win.
All right, time for our stat of the day brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. We're looking at the Cubs' offensive numbers. They are offensive over the last seven games. Not a pretty sight. 15 times over the last week. Three times they've been held to just one run. They've gotten a total of 40 hits. The good news, it went 4-3 over that stretch. How?
Well, I mean, Maddon said yesterday they're mentally French fried from this stretch of games, and it's hard to argue that he's not right about that. And, you know, they're missing Kyle Schwarber, who you would expect to provide a lot of the power they're not getting from Chris Bryant. I think you do have to play these games in Arizona, get home, try to reset was the word that Maddon was using, you know, and hope that when you go to play at the White Sox this weekend, Schwarber as a DH gives you a lift. I think Chris Bryant, something's wrong physically with the shoulder. I think it's going to need, you know, from all indications to me, he just doesn't have the same torque, same velocity, and you know, it seems like it's headed for some kind of small surgical repair in the off season. And you know, you can't expect more than line drives from him. You've been getting magic from David Bodie. That's not going to go on forever. You know, it's going to come down to getting the usual suspects, and that Contreras we touched on, getting him back right is part of it. He did have two good games at the plate this weekend, including the ball off the wall. He just didn't play it right.
It's kind of amazing that the Cubs have won these games where they haven't hit, and their starting pitching has been pretty good. They've done the job.
Beginning of August, they're number one or two in every metric. They've all of baseball,
and that's with the bullpen kind of being in shambles. That they've had to kind of piece together these back into the game situations.
Yeah, Jaime Garcia, Jorge De La Rosa, Dylan Maples the other day.
And it's working. I mean, these are the types of things where when people do get on Joe Maddon, and I'm sure it's happened on your show, it's happened on mine, where I go back to he's so good at handling the room. Like, I think that's what you're talking about paying this guy for, is that he understands the personality and he makes it all work. I'm with Phil on Chris Bryant. that seems like something's really wrong. And I give him a ton of credit for going out there and still being a little bit dangerous because he's such a great hitter that even if he's, you know, hits a single or gives you a double, that he's still a tough guy to get out. Even since coming back, he's been a tough guy to get out. But they have got to figure out how to score some runs. And a team that is so reliant, and I don't mean this in a bad way because this is how baseball is now, but so reliant on the long ball, the fact that they haven't gotten – long ball production out of the guys that they expect to get that production out of. What's Wilson Contreras got? 9 home runs so far this year?
Right.
I mean, that's a guy that you're expecting to take that next step and go 20 to 25. The fact that they haven't got that type of production from him or Chris Bryant or Kyle Schwarber consistently is amazing.
Or Daniel Murphy, who when he got here,
he's gone to sleep
big
now.
Shot in the arm, and now gone to the sleep. Last, you know, 8-10 days, he's looked terrible at the plate.
Wow. Yeah, I agree with that. No real reason, you know, and they haven't. He doesn't generally play against left-handers, so they put him in the right in the spots where he should produce. And he just kind of went cold. He was one of the hottest hitters even before they traded for him in the National League in the second half of the year. But he's cooled off, and you know, I don't know if it was hitting in the leadoff spot. I doubt it. You know, I think, you know, guys just get hot, get cold, and he's gotten cold. But, you know, on the bullpen, yeah, they did it against the Reds. They patched it together, and you want to say, yeah, it's against the Reds.
Yeah, 1-1 to nothing.
But Jaime Garcia gets Joey Votto out twice over the weekend. I mean, and that the top of the top five or six guys in that Reds order is pretty darn solid.
Scooter Jeanette, and you got, you know, Joey Votto. I mean, there's some guys that can hit. Yeah. Eugenio Suarez.
I mean, even getting through the Washington game after the Strope injury, where you're like, oh, is Rosario gonna shut the door? And he went in there and pitched well. Like, these are when we look back on the 2018 Cubs season and really document everything that went wrong, from Yu Darvish to not being good and not really helping your team, Chatwood being bad, Morrow getting hurt, Bryant getting hurt, Rizzo starting off cold, Contreras not hitting for power. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, here they are still with a lead in the National League Central.
And the best record in the National League.
Yep.
It's crazy. Really is. If you had to put your chips on one team to go to the World Series out of the National League, who are you picking?
I'll pick the Cubs to beat the Dodgers once again in the championship series, this time to beat them like they did a couple years ago. I mean, it seems like the Cubs and the Dodgers are the two teams, I think. I mean, you know, Milwaukee is very dangerous, but I still look at their rotation and I look at the history. I think Joe Maddon's history in the playoffs is hard to ignore. If you look at winning postseason series, I think it's hard to ignore. And, you know, he got a Tampa Bay team to the World Series. Every year he's been in Chicago, they've gone to at least the championship series. I would say that I would give the Cubs a slight edge over the Dodgers.
Okay, I get the calls. I know you do. There are people calling in, I don't know about this Joe Maddon guy. And I think to myself, the guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
It's ridiculous.
He's gone to 3 straight NLCS. He won a World Series. And yet people don't give this guy the credit. This might be his best managing job.
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about a Cubs team that's probably going to win 96, 97 games this year.
Right.
And with everything that we've discussed, being
and they don't like
them,
the manner that it was done.
I don't understand it. I truly don't. This is greatness that we're seeing. We're seeing an incredible manager do something that we've never seen in Cubs history. And there is a lack of appreciation for what that guy has done.
I mean, people get spoiled in a hurry. And on your long list of things that didn't happen for him, they don't have a single starting pitcher that's had a wire-to-wire good season. I mean, John Lester, you know, early and then not, and then now he's back to good again. And both Hendricks and Quintana out of the chute, you know, not themselves.
Right.
And the wins do add up. I mean, it's a very well-built team. You got to give the front office credit. And when you look at how the bullpen is pitching now, they have a weapon for everybody. You know, that Dylan Maples slider sets up for certain hitters. And, you know, they're planning who we're going to match up against who.
Right. Who can we bring him in against?
That's where they won the games this weekend, was in you know, mapping out how we're going to use our bullpen. And that's what you have to do when you don't have, you know, lockstep. This guy's the closer. This guy's the eighth. This guy's the seventh. And it's, you know, it can work. I don't think it's ideal, but it can work.
Let me ask you a question, because you are the chief purveyor of slander against my guy Quintana. Cubs Brewers, does he get the ball game one?
Get the ball.
Because for me, he does. His numbers against the Brewers says he. You want him pitching multiple times.
I start John Lester.
Okay.
But Quintana's pitching early in that series. No question about it. No doubt about it. He's been much better as of late, his last five starts. He had a real up and down season, but the last five starts, he's been a Mercedes.
And he's got something on the Brewers. Like, they see him. It's the same thing that Chacin has against the Cubs. But they see him coming, and they pucker up, because he has really just mowed them down at every opportunity since the trade. I mean, going all the way back to the trade, he has been dominant against the Brewers. If you end up in a situation, and I know you have to do a lot of mapping out to make this,
in
but
a clinch game?
In a clinch game, for sure, he would start for me. And, you know, Joe is going to have him throw four innings and then bullpen it the rest of the way out. But I would be tempted, if it's Cubs-Brewers in the DS, I would be tempted to start Quintana in game one.
All right, we'll get back to football after a timeout. We get you set for Bears and Seahawks from Soldier Field. We'll also take a look around the NFL from yesterday's action, including a Clay Matthews hit that may have cost the Packers a win over the Vikings.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
Be sure to join us tonight as soon as the Bears and the Seahawks game goes final. It's the football after show with Lawrence Holmes, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, and Matt Forte to break down the game and bring you Matt Nagy's post-game comments. Must-see TV only on NBC Sports Chicago. And we head out to Soldier Field, and that's where we find our intrepid Luke Stuckmeyer. All right, Stucky, I am more excited for this Monday night game as a Chicagoan, as a Bears fan, than I have been in a long, long time. Do you feel the vibe? You've been out there and you've covered this team. Seems like there's a buzz for this game.
There's a little bit of buzz, but having gone through some tailgates here, Cap, over the last half hour or so, there's also some anxiety. Almost every person I talked to said something about last week's game. We can't do that again. So the fans haven't fully forgotten what happened against Green Bay, up in Green Bay against the Packers. They fully remember the collapse, and so you wonder if that's also in the back of the minds of the players going into this one. Listen, there's excitement because people saw great things in the first half, but I don't think everybody's forgotten the second half just yet either.
But if you look back to that first half, what I saw was a coach and a quarterback, simpatico. They were perfect, hand in glove. That has to give people some confidence going forward that it can only get better from there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it shows that they can do it. If they have it scripted out, if he's ready and prepared for things, it can go great. They had the element of surprise because the Packers didn't know what to expect with Matt Nagy. They didn't know what kind of formation to be going with. Seattle's got a little more information about the Bears offense, the new look offense at this point. But yeah, you've got to at least take the positives of that game. The first half, the Bears looked like a team that could not only compete for the division, but potentially even win the division, which I never would have said 3 weeks ago. The first half gave you tons of expectations for this team. The second half reeled us all back in. I want Trubisky to be able to look at multiple receivers tonight. I want to see him be able to go from first read to second read to third read. And that's what we're really looking for in this young quarterback. Right now, he's been locked into one guy. If he's not there, he runs the ball. We want to see him be able to go through multiple progressions and get to the right receiver.
All right, Luke Stuckmeyer, I'm going to ask you this question. I asked this of Yurko Carmen and Jordan Cornette today. Here's my take. Do you agree or disagree? Shot, no shot. It is a must-win game for the Bears if they harbor any designs on going to the playoffs.
I'll give you a shot. The only reason I would have said no shot is the NFL is such a roller coaster ride. Injuries can happen and you never know, but starting 0-2 would not be good, especially one loss to a division team and then losing at home in a hope and open. This is a game the Bears should win tonight. Seattle's not the old Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson got sacked 6 times against the Broncos in week 1. They don't have Doug Baldwin. They don't have some of their linebackers. You got to go out and win on Monday Night Football and try and make this the building block to go and get maybe 3 of the next 4 games if you have aspirations of making the playoffs. I say shot. This is a must-win game for the Bears.
Right there with you, Stuckey. Last one. For me, the key to this football game is being able to run the ball, establish that, and open things up for Trubisky. Some will say it's on the defensive side of the ball. What do you say is the biggest key tonight?
Well, I think the Seahawks are going to be ready for a heavy dose of pass rush. Obviously, they have trouble protecting Russell Wilson last week. They saw that the Packers had trouble protecting Aaron Rodgers last week, and they got rid of the ball quick and things changed. The Bears are going to have to solve that problem because certainly that's exactly what Seattle's going to do early in the game. I would say that's not a bad take. I think running the football is a good idea. And besides, I have Jordan Howard on my fantasy team. So I say feed the beast. Feed the beast. Run the ball. Set up that short passing game and then start to take your looks down the field. I want to see him pass downfield today, too. I don't want just dink and dunk and funny formations. I want to see some long passes to Robinson. I want to see Trey Burton catch some passes. I want to see Gabriel catch some. Show me the weapons again, but show them to me successfully getting the job done down the field.
Stuckey, thanks, man. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you back here in the studios tomorrow.
See you, Cap.
All right, that is a wrap for Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Bears and Seahawks, make sure you flip over for the football after show as soon as the game goes final tonight. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.